You found London Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.
Welcome back. I'm joined by Rosh. Hello, Rosh.
Hi, Sean.
And Brian.
Hello, Brian. Sean.
I've known you a while now, haven't I, Rosh?
Yeah, Sean. We go back a long time.
We do. We go back a long time. Yeah. But you haven't been out that long, have you?
No. This is my fifth year.
Oh, your fifth year?
Yeah, my fifth year. But I've known you before I had my badge, because I joined Twitter while I was on the knowledge, and also Brian, by the way, while I was on the knowledge. So that's where the sort of, I think I'll probably go back. We'll probably go back about 7 years.
Right. Has it gone by fast or slow?
No. It's gone back. Gone by very quickly.
I mean, the last 7 years. I mean, this has all come about in the last 7 years. All this aggro, hasn't it?
Well, I couldn't have timed getting my badge out. I couldn't have timed it any worse, really.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is what it is, and you know, it's all happening now.
But Brian, you're a seasoned veteran, aren't you? You're a grizzled,
sure.
Veteran.
I am grizzled. 22 years now.
22 years. So what year was that?
July 4th, 1996.
Do you know what you got out then in what was considered the worst recession of the cab trade? I mean, people talk about the 90s like it was really bad, don't they?
Yeah, they do, because that was after the first Gulf. But it was good. It still was good, though. It really did pick up. It was lovely.
I think that's a case in point, isn't it? I think a lot of the younger ones coming out now, they don't know, or they never experienced.
Don't
what
know
it was
any
like.
Difference.
Yeah. That's right.
They think this is the norm.
They're having a great time, aren't they? You know what? They're coming out. I speak to them sometimes, and they're just having a fabulous time.
They love it.
They're nicking all the work, of course. They're doing about 12, 14-hour days, aren't they? Butters. You know, and everybody's a butter to Brian.
Yeah, well, older ones. Yeah,
he still refers to me as a butter boy. Yeah, no, officially I'm not. But anyway,
well, I feel I've been out 100 years. I think 18 years, but it does go by very quick.
It does, Sean. You know?
You're here because you're doing something. I mean, Brian, I know you do really adventurous stuff, don't you? And I've seen Rosh smoking his fags. So this is
bit of a conflict of interest, aren't you?
This is the disparity between you. But I mean, you've come together. I mean, there's five others, isn't there?
Yeah.
And you've come together to do something quite spectacular. Who wants to kick off and tell me about it?
Rosh Ken?
Yeah, it was initially my sister's idea. We were talking about my weight situation, which has gone, which has just gone way too much, to the tune of 19 and a half stone plus. So she said to me, look, you've tried lots of different things in the past. How about, let's take this from a different angle. How about climbing Kilimanjaro? And I said, I sort of laughed it off, and I said, what are you talking about? How is 20 stone of lard going to get to the top of Kilimanjaro? It's the highest point in Africa, for crying out loud. No, she said. No, hang on a second, slow down. Let's set yourself that goal next year, and in the meantime, in the 12 months running up to climbing Kilimanjaro, lose the weight. Go on a training program, stop smoking. There's lots of bad boxes I tick. And the idea grew on me in a matter of minutes. I thought, yeah, that is absolutely fantastic. This is something I never ever thought I would do, but it's a fantastic goal. So I went away thinking, yeah, I'll do that. But then, I thought, well, I don't really want to do it by myself. So, this is where Twitter comes into useful.
Yeah.
So I took to Twitter. I said to, I put a tweet out. Does anyone fancy climbing Kilimanjaro and losing a bit of weight along the way? And obviously, cab drivers being cab drivers, took the mickey out of me, left, right and centre.
Well, you're a lightweight to some of them.
They could do with coming on this, actually, some of my friends in particular.
Was the take-up like, though, when you put out the call?
What emerged was a group of cabbies that were very serious about this and committed and as positive as I was. And they said, I'm in. And we formed a little group. Cabbies do Kilimanjaro. We started bouncing ideas off each other and formulated a plan. And we're moving forward very quickly.
But how did your sister come up with the idea of Kilimanjaro? Because I wouldn't instinctively think Kilimanjaro. I'd probably think Malvern Hills or something like that. I wouldn't think it.
She's a nutritionist. She works for the United Nations.
Okay.
She gets sent all over the world to places of humanitarian crisis. Just come back from Greece, where there's a massive humanitarian problem going on there at the moment, with refugees pulling up.
or just turning up there. So the United Nations role is to send people, experts, to look after these people that just, you know, turn up.
Right.
That's a, you know, that's a completely different issue. So the reason why Kilimanjaro came up, not that she's been there, but she travels all over the world. Yeah. So that's why.
So she'd be familiar. Give me some dimensions, not of yourselves, but Kilimanjaro. I mean, what is the challenge?
6 kilometres in the air.
So what's that in miles? What would that be?
4 point something.
So, I mean, Everest is only 5.
No, Everest is taller.
Yeah, but that's only 5. If that's 4 something, you are going towards the height of Everest, aren't you?
Everest is bigger by 2,000 metres. If we're talking metres, Kilimanjaro is 6,000.
Yeah.
Everest is about 8,000.
What about that in feet and inches?
No, well, I don't know.
But you know, this is old analogue. But still, you're going towards the height of Everest. You're not the 2,000.
Yeah, we're 2,000 metres off of Everest. Wow. I mean, we're above the clouds.
Yeah, wow.
When I put the tweet out initially, there was a few people that said, oh, the only people that should be up that high are aeroplanes, not you lot.
Wow.
So the altitude is going to be an issue. But this is where our training is going to come into play. You know, we can potentially have training exercises on Snowdon, altitude training. You know, it's all coming in, it's all gelling, and it's all coming together. And we're just, you know, we're still at the early stages. This is only week 3.
Yeah, I mean, we've got Brian, and he's a positive lightweight next to you. He's tipping
half my size,
tipping the scales at 16 stone. But you did a parachute jump earlier in the year.
I did, Sean. Yes, I'd done it for the taxi charity.
Yeah,
with a few other cab drivers. And the beautiful Francis. And we done that in July, and it was fantastic.
And I mean, the outfit was fantastic as well, wasn't it?
It was a lovely colour of red, wasn't it?
It looked really good. It did look good. And this was your first parachute jump, wasn't it?
My first parachute jump. Very, very nervous.
Yeah.
But when I landed, I wanted to do it all again. It was a fantastic experience.
But just that moment when you're about to go out the plane. Did you hesitate? I mean, how many hesitations did you have? Or is it the best thing not to hesitate?
When the plane was going up, I said to the guy behind me, I said, I'm nervous. He said, that's natural. He said, just breathe, relax. He said, you'll be fine. And that's what I did. I just relaxed and we got higher and higher. And then the shutter rolled and we were first to jump. So he said, go to the door. Remember what I told you. Lean back. And then we just went.
Oh, leaning back.
He said, lean back, rock yourself. And then we just went.
Yeah.
And we went from 15,000 down to 5,000 feet.
Right.
Yeah. In a matter of... God knows.
Yeah. So that first fall, what does it feel like? God, can you recomput it into words?
I can't put it into words. I think all I was screaming was, oh my, bleep, bleep, bleep.
Really? Ah, oh, yeah, good job we didn't have that on recording.
No.
But so this is a natural progression for you to be going up Kilimanjaro.
I mean, you know, as I put on my bio, I've driven for the charity, I've jumped out of planes for the charity, now I'm going to climb for the charity. And this is, you know, at my age now, I'm 53, this is something that you're not going to get a chance to do again in life. So now's the time to grasp it.
I mean, have they never said anything about age? Have they never approached it and said, right, what's the age? What's the limits? Really? Okay.
It's pretty open, isn't it, Rosh?
Very much so. We've met with the Action Challenge, who have taken us to Kilimanjaro.
Yep.
Very professional outfit. They deal with thousands of climbs.
Did you get in touch with them?
Yes.
Oh, right, okay.
I got in touch with 3 companies, actually, that specialise in Kilimanjaro, climbing Kilimanjaro. And out of the 3, Action Challenge were the most professional and showed the most amount of interest in us. I explained to the guys over there what we are. We're 7 fat cabbies and we want to lose weight and climb Kilimanjaro in a year's time. And he was very excited about that. He said, yeah, come and meet us. We're well up for this, as well as you are.
They've been as positive.
Very positive about everything.
And communications has been great.
Communications has been wonderful. They're constantly emailing us, you know, how we're getting on, and you know, all the right stuff. So when we went to meet them, age was just nothing to do with it.
Right.
Even fitness, he said, you know, we have taken big people up there. Bigger guys than us up there before. But the fact that you guys are being sensible about this and giving yourself a 12-month training program before you climb, you'll be perfectly okay.
Like you said, you've got to do some altitude training. Yeah. I mean, I imagine the air is pretty thin.
Oh, yeah.
What are the dangers as well? This might not come till a later date, but what are the dangers of going up there? What's the main thing you have to be wary of? Do you pass bodies like on every... Or the buses, yeah, double-decker buses
there's
on every...
There's grizzly bears up there.
Something like
muscles.
That.
Yeah.
Grizzly bears.
Do you pass bodies?
Yeah, well, there is... Well, every side,
it might be passed a few things, buses. But it won't be bodies.
No, the biggest issue is altitude.
Yeah.
That is it.
And what does that cause? Does it just cause you not to be able to breathe very well or something like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, your your lungs don't struggle for oxygen. Oof. But, you know, part of climbing Kilimanjaro, we're in a team. They're not just going to say, right, there's seven of you, off you go. There's a medic on our team.
Yeah.
There's porters on the team that set up the tents. There's caterers on the team. It's very, very organised. And it's, you know, they feed us... you know, we're trying to lose the weight now, but actually, when we get there, we're going to be putting on a bit of weight because we have to pack in the calories.
Yeah,
was one of them, wasn't it? We have to eat so much stuff on that trip.
Yeah,
you're going to burn so much.
You're going to burn so much, and you know, lots of things go through your mind. Where do we go to the toilet? Do we have a shower?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
No showers.
Can we charge our phone? Right. No showers. No showers for a whole week.
No showers for a week.
Toilets.
Well, that's like normal for me, isn't it? No, it's not.
It's a hole in the floor.
With a plank or whatever.
Yeah. With a plank, of, you know, spread.
But is there set places you would stop?
Yes, as you go
up there. So
various levels.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to bear in mind, these people have done this climb thousands of times.
Yes, yeah.
We're going the Lomosho route.
Oh, what's it called?
Lomosho.
Right.
Which is a 6 days up and 1 day down. So
you come on a sledge? Would you come down back down on a sledge or something?
I did actually think 1 day down when we've just spent 6 days.
Well, I think it's 6 days is you're acclimatising your body.
Yeah,
You've got to take it slowly, going up step by step. Whereas once you get to the top, you've acclimatised as such. You're now going to come down a lot quicker.
Yeah.
And once we're at the summit, we're not going to be at the summit for that long. Probably about half an hour,
isn't it? Yeah.
So it'd be a great opportunity for us to, you know, look at each other and say, we actually done this a year ago. We were fat gits, and look at us now. We're 6 miles.
Well, looking at you now, you're still fat gits.
We're only at the concept stage of all of this. So, you know, you're obviously going to follow us as we go along.
The thing is, I mean, we've talked about the finality, you being there, but this is a real process, isn't it? Mm. And have you got a strategy? Have you got, right now, I start on this date, and like you said, you wasn't going to start, what did you say, training at all?
My plan is to lose weight. I'm not going to exercise until I've lost a good part of what I want to lose.
Right. And you have lost some, haven't you?
I've lost,
so he's nearly lost a stone.
Nearly lost a stone. I'm about 12 pound out from a stone in 3 weeks.
I mean, but you wear it well, because I've never thought of you as being extra large.
But I've been eating badly. I've been drinking a lot of sweet stuff.
But that's the
typical cabbie stuff.
Yeah.
Grab something from Tesco's. You know what I mean?
So you're going to do that? So you're going to do? Have you got a time scale on that? You're going to lose weight?
I've got a certain time in my head what I want to do. I've got Euro Disney this weekend.
Yeah.
After Euro Disney, I think I'm going to start cracking the whip with a bit of gym work, bit of endurance, and obviously keep an eye on what my weight is.
Yeah. And you, Rosh, what's your plan?
Well, the plan for me actually is to shame myself into doing this.
Right. Okay. Because a picture on your fridge door and things like that.
The reason why we're making this very public.
Yeah,
we have weigh-ins every Monday.
Oh right, okay.
And we're putting it all over Twitter, putting it all over Facebook.
And that's what you need, isn't it? Because it,
Paul, one of the group, Paul's wife, Karen, the lovely Karen.
Paul Watts.
Yeah. He's his wife, lovely Karen, has kindly set up our Facebook page. So we're putting this all over the Twitter. It's going everywhere. We have a PR company involved with us. The lovely Christina, she's organising lots of media stuff for us along the way. We've got sponsors coming on board. Right, but going back to your question, how am I going to lose the weight? The boxes I tick at the moment, currently sitting in the back of your cab, is I'm 19 stone plus, I smoke 20 fags a day, I'm a diabetic type 2, and I've high cholesterol.
Right, okay.
So I've got lots of mountains to climb.
That's an athlete for you.
I've got lots of mountains to climb. Forget Kilimanjaro.
Yeah,
before
absolutely.
I get to Kilimanjaro, I've got lots of little mountains to climb.
Yeah, I get it, yeah.
Okay, so in the next 12 months, I intend quitting smoking. My cholesterol's going to come down. I'm quietly hoping I reverse my diabetes type 2. and then we hit Kilimanjaro. This whole thing,
yeah,
is not about seven fat blokes. This whole thing is about raising money for taxi charity, turning, and talking personally here, turning my life around, and showing the other people that, you know, we're sat in the car park here, Great Suffolk Street. I think 80% of the cabbies here could do with coming on Kilimanjaro with us. So if we can do this next year, they'll say, bloody hell, look at those guys. They've done that. I think I'll try that.
Well, you could be, yeah, it could be a fantastic
It's no good. All this stuff that's happening in our trade, we claim, we shout from the top of Kilimanjaro how wonderful we are at our trade.
Yeah.
We claim we're gold standard. Of course, it's absolutely right. We're the gold standard. We're always the number one taxi service. We're brilliant. What's the point of all of that?
Yeah, I know.
Tomorrow,
what I mean. Yeah.
I'm 6 foot under.
Because I didn't look after myself.
Yeah. And that, Ross, listen to what Ross just said there. Climbing will be the easy thing for Ross because he'd have done all the hard battles.
Yeah, all the processing and everything that goes with
it. The climb
will
be the easy part for Ross. Giving up smoking, losing the weight, reversing his diabetes, they're the mountains he's got to challenge. Mm.
And sometimes you need to have that kind of, that penultimate there to say, right, that's what I've got to go for.
We are, cabbies are a population within a bigger population. And we are not the healthiest. I mean, look at yourself. You're very fit. You're very healthy, Sean.
Oh, on the outside, as long as you can hide that crunching on the inside and nobody hears it, you're all right.
We have a lot of very healthy, fit cab drivers. But if I had to put a percentage on how many of us are obese or morbidly obese, I would say it was going 60-70%. And, you know, we're an ageing workforce. Let's forget about being Billy... I was going to say Billy Big Bollocks, I better not say that.
That's all right.
Charlie Big Potatoes. Instead of being Charlie Big Potatoes...
Did you mean Billy Big Bollocks?
I didn't mean Billy Big Bollocks. Instead of being Billy Big Bollocks and sitting around the cast and eating bacon sarnies all day, turn your lives around.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's a very sedentary job, isn't it? The more you're sedentary, the less you want to do stuff and all that.
I'm sounding like a bit of a salesman, but if I can sell you 10 years more of your life for X amount of money, you'll bite my hand off.
Yeah.
You know, and talking of money, we're looking for more sponsors. We need many more sponsors. We've only just started this.
But to say you've only just started, you've got a PR company on board.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of people
behind
you.
It exploded in the first week.
Yeah.
Christina from Bowden PR got on board. We had CabVision on board. We've got Plan Insurance on board. The UCG are on board. And Taxi App are on board.
Yeah.
These are our sponsors so far. We're looking for many, many more because we have a lot of cost to cover.
I mean, it is an ideal thing for somebody to cover, isn't it? Because it would make great TV.
It's brilliant. You know. It's fantastic. It's such a positive thing that we're doing for our trade as well as ourselves. And for taxi charity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll talk a bit about the taxi charity because it does seem like they go a lot to Paris at the moment. I thought it was only once a year. Are they going to?
No, sorry, that's not the taxi charity.
Oh, this is the war disabled, isn't it?
Yes,
the taxi charity for the war disabled.
This is Euro Disney now. This is totally different. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And what's happening with that? That's next week. Did you say?
That's this week.
This Friday.
Oh, right. This Friday we go to Euro Disney. Right. But that's totally different from the taxi charity.
No, that's it. This is the worshipful company, is it?
That's correct. Yeah.
This is the kids.
This is the kids. The sick
the
kids.
Older ones.
The ones that have been ill.
Right.
This is totally different. So.
Right. Interesting though, because it does seem like it was only 5 minutes since the kids went to.
Once a year. Only once a year.
Wow. Because that takes some organisation as well, doesn't it?
It does. I'm glad I'm just one of the minions that do the driving. But fair play to the guys that do all the organisation.
Yeah, because we did have him on the radio. He was talking about it. And it is a year's worth of planning.
It is. What do they say? Once this one's finished, the next one starts.
And it's not the first time you've been.
No, this will be my fourth one.
Right.
But this is the 25th anniversary.
Oh, right.
So it's quite a major one for the, you know, the worshipful company of Hackney Carriages.
Because you talk about the organisation here, that has to have a lot of organisation with the, you know, the kind of...
Yes, with the police involved, with the ambulances, with the breakdown services, booking the hotels, booking the Euro Disney Park, booking the ferries. I think it dwarfs what we're doing.
Mm.
And also the children. I mean, the children are the most important part of all of it.
Because these are some children, life restrictions and all that. And so that's all got to be thought about, hasn't it?
Yeah, and that's why the nurses are on those trips.
And this is something, along with the taxi charity, the War Disabled, that doesn't get a lot of exposure. And this is great charities. I mean, I know Frances was instrumental in getting the winning the lottery award, wasn't she? Which gave it some mainstream publicity.
We had the D-Day darlings on Britain's Got Talent.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But no, it doesn't get the publicity that it deserves.
And it's incredible. I mean, never does it get put out that all these kids are going, all these underprivileged kids who really need this. And you would have thought, that is something that would have made television...
That would have made great TV.
Yeah.
Spend a weekend with all these families and kids and see what one day at Euro Disney does for them.
And the set-off is great as well, isn't it? Because you have a breakfast and you all have a wave. The muscle great.
Marriott does for the, for the cab trader. It is great. But it does need more publicity. It really, really does. And the same with what we're doing.
Yeah.
It needs more publicity. What's more than giving your life for your country, which so many... people have done for the tax.
It was a natural thing for us to support.
Yes,
taxi charity.
It's the only one I would support.
It was just such a it just fitted in so perfectly with what we're doing, and we're also supported by Poppy Cabs and the fantastic Mike Hughes. Obviously,
he's fantastic. I see him every now and then at 3 a.m. in Camley Street. Every now and then, when he's finished his shift.
Oh, he's on his laptop. Yeah, coordinating stuff. But anyway, we're going back to taxi charity. This is particularly poignant this year. Is their 70th anniversary?
Right.
And for us to be associated or to be raising funds for them, I feel really privileged personally about doing this for them. So we've got our Just Giving page. If they go on to Cabbies Do Kilimanjaro or search for Cabbies Do Kilimanjaro.
Right, I'll put these details out. So, that's worth it.
And also follow us on Twitter at Cabbies Do
Kili. Right, okay.
All the information is on there and Facebook as well. Search for Cabbies Do Kilimanjaro. But the taxi charity, they've had this long association with the taxi trade. Long may it continue. And, as time goes on, obviously, with the natural course of life, there's less and less.
Less and less. I mean, even it's very moving when you just do Poppy Day. Poppy Cabs. Yeah. And you take them they might just go to the Union Jack Cab. Yeah. But it's still, fantastic. It is humbling, fabulous. Very humbling.
Without these people, now I come from a mixed background, right? I mean, we're not going to turn this into some big race thing now. But what I will say, I come from a mixed background. My mother's from Trinidad in the West Indies. My dad's South Africa. I was born in Balham. So I'm a bit of an old dolly mixture. I don't even know if you're allowed to say dolly mixture these days. So if
you
some
are,
people,
you're allowed.
If some people, looked in the mirror and said, well, hang on, without these guys and ladies, men and women that died for us, this country would not actually be what it is today. Okay, some would argue that we've kind of screwed things up, but in terms of letting people in and allowing them to come and live here, free from persecution.
That's right.
Free from racism. They can get on with their life. They can worship who they want. They can find work here and have a happy life as long as they stick by the laws here. That actually wouldn't happen without the people we're raising money for.
That's right, yeah, that's
so,
right.
It's very, very important that we support taxi
and charity. And on that point, did you go, they went to Belgium, didn't they, not long ago? Is this?
They went to Waterloo.
Oh, that's right,
It was mainly to do with the those that are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right, okay.
And a few limbless veterans. And it was mainly to help with the dig of the Battle of Waterloo back in 1812, I think it was. Yeah, they've done that. And doing this climb next year is very significant also, is that it's the 75th anniversary of the D-Day D-Day landings on June the 6th, and also for Arnhem, which we always go to Arnhem,
or we go
to Normandy. So next year I think it's going to be really, really big. And as Roche said, they're starting to fade away now. We're starting to lose them more and more. So it would be nice to have the money to give them one final big...
It's been significant, hasn't it? When you've, say, been to, I don't know whether it was Normandy last year.
Normandy last year, went to Arnhem this year.
Arnhem. Yep. When you come back, when you're in Arnhem, they get treated fantastically, the veterans. You come back here, and it's like there's no one.
Correct.
It made the
TV over there, it made the newspapers over there. They love the veterans.
I mean, I know John Cox was there. He said they've got little kids coming up and giving them flowers and things like that. And you think, gosh, don't have any of that for them here, do we?
No.
It's just discarded here.
Yeah. It doesn't... The profile here, it's nowhere near what it should be for the veterans. My grandfather is Indian on my father's side. And he fought alongside the British and the Indian Volunteer Army. So I have, you know, a bit of connection with the military in that respect. And, you know, before he passed away, bless him, he used to tell me all these stories about being in the army alongside the British. And it was like, really? Wow. I was just transfixed. I was so... It was infectious.
Yeah.
The stories he was telling me. And ever since that, I've got an affection for our military.
But also, it's like, we're of an age, so most of our grandparents are dead now. And you lose that first contact story, don't you? You are left with like a secondary story passed down.
Yeah.
You know, as you say, they're getting fewer and fewer. So those stories, because they've always got a story when you pick them up on poppy cabs.
Oh, yeah.
And it's great. But we're going to lose that, aren't we? And it'll be secondary. It'll be passed down stories opposed to that, you know.
And then eventually Taxi Charity's role will change and will evolve.
Yeah.
You know, as more and more of them, more and more of the veterans pass away. And poppy cabs also, Mike was talking about this, eventually... We'll have too many cabs. You know, there won't be enough veterans.
I see what you mean, yeah.
So, we'll have to sort of think of a different angle.
But the good thing is, good thing, I don't know if it's a good thing, but there have been many conflicts since the Second World War.
Yes, there are.
Korea,
yeah.
Falklands,
yeah.
Gulf, Northern Ireland.
And I think post-traumatic stress syndrome only came about after the Second World War, didn't they? They only recognised it as...
What was it? Lack of moral fibre was
lack of moral fibre, lack of...
Taxi Charity, they also support the disabled veterans as well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they do so much fantastic work. The journey, the outings that Brian's been talking about, supporting them at home, providing entertainment for these people, you know. It's such great work Taxi Charity do. And Frances, we mentioned Frances a couple of times. She, going back to Cabbies Do Kilimanjaro, Frances has been in contact with myself and ourselves from day one. Right, what about this? What about that? Let's do this. Let's do that. She's putting so much input.
Yeah, she's...
Frances is invaluable. She is worth her weight in gold. If you're listening to this, Frances, thank you for coming into my life.
Oh, well, there you go, Frances. No, she is fantastic. She's fantastic. And you wouldn't have the patience on that. A lot of people in the cab trade think that about Frances, don't they?
She's very good. Everyone that's actually... Frances is superb. Everyone that's connected themselves with us or associated themselves with us are great people. They're a great organisation. Lee Da Costa from Cabbage. I'm not here to promote any particular advertising. But Lee, again, he's been working very hard in the background for us on a number of things. And, you know, Angela from the UCG.
Angela's fantastic, yeah.
Plan Insurance. All these people... These are fantastic people.
They are. And you think, well, there's insurance, there's Cabvision, and there's going to be a conflict of interest because it's to do with money. But for Cabvision and Plan Insurance, it's as good as it gets. They are people who are really trying to work with the trade and give information to the trade and understand the trade, because it's not always easy, is it? Yeah.
And Scott also. Scott from Taxi App.
Yeah.
I had a conversation.
He doesn't understand the trade at all.
I spoke to Scott. I had a long conversation with him on telephone about Kilimanjaro.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Long conversation with Scott. Oh,
I couldn't get a word in edgeways. He just kept stopping. Scott, I want to talk about Kilimanjaro. Yeah. And the end result was he said, absolutely, we want to be associated with it. It's such a positive, great thing you guys are doing for our trade. We want to be on top of Kilimanjaro with you. Yeah. And, you know, you can just picture it, can't you? Us seven on the top of, on the summit, Kilimanjaro, London Taxi Radio, Cabvision, UGG, blah, 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 with our banners.
It's just brilliant. It's just brilliant.
You know, the opportunity to promote our trade and the good people from within our trade is just endless.
And like, as you say, to go on with it as well. And maybe other cabbies the following year might be encouraged to do it.
Well, it's the side of our minds, that side. But we're going to be the advert for what happens in the future.
Yeah.
So if this all goes well, and I've got no reason to think otherwise... Who knows, in 2020, right, guys, we're going to take another 10 of you fatties up to Kilimanjaro. How about it? Look at us.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. What's the temperature like on Kilimanjaro? Because you hear where it is.
We've had all the seasons, Sean. We've been told when we start the climb, it's going to be hot and sweaty. Mm. Yeah, make sure you've got a wide-brimmed hat.
Oh, right.
That was when we start the climb. We're then being told we're putting on a few more layers of clothing.
Yeah.
And so it's going to start off... hot, because we're starting off in the
the tropical zone. By the time we get to the top,
Yes.
It could be anything from 0 to minus 20.
Yes. So we could have a few cold nights snuggled up together in the tents.
So I can see why it would take 6 days then, because that's a complete change, isn't it?
He just mentioned snuggled sleeping up
bag. In the one sleeping bag. I'm all for that.
Me and Ross.
Yes.
Is there time to pull out of this?
You've organised.
You've got to lose the weight to get in the sleeping bag first. Come on. I mean, that's all right. You're safe.
I'm not sharing. Unless the lovely Myrna's going to come with us, I'm not sharing nothing with no one.
You'll have no peace at all if she comes with you. Look, I'm asking this week as well. You had one track to take away with you to a desert island. Or Kilimanjaro, if you was on your own for life and you knew you was there for life, you got one track you had to take with you, what would that track be? Oh, you see, silent.
Oh, no, I've got it in my head.
Oh, have you? Okay.
I would... Go on, Brian.
The song is called Hashtag 41. That's what it is, hashtag, and it's 41. Okay. And it's by a band called Dave Matthews.
Whew.
Dave Matthews Band, Hashtag 41.
Okay, I'll have to look that one up.
Yeah, that's the only... That would be with me.
When did it come into your life?
Dave Matthews has been in my life for 20-odd years. I love the music. Yeah. Look, there's the tattoo on me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, fantastic. Yeah. I really will have to look that one up.
Yes.
I would take...
Yeah, it's not... Oh, Rosh, if you've got to look it up, it can't be... Come on, it's not the same, is it?
It's not a classic or anything. Am I allowed to play a bit of this or not?
Yes, go ahead.
It's appropriate.
Oh, that sounds good.
I'm on top of the world.
Let it play. We can.
Oh, leave it out.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah. How old are you?
I've been singing this when we get to the top.
Is this an art? This the album?
Don't look down.
Mosh dancing. It'll be falling off in the wake.
To a desert island.
It'll be falling off. That's okay. Oh, they're going to come down. They'll be coming down separate. We go up together, coming down separate music taste.
I'm on top of the world. Okay.
Well done, Rosh. I've been talking to Rosh and Brian. These are the super heavyweights that won't be super heavyweights when they go up Kilimanjaro. And that is scheduled for September. Have you got a
26th.
26th.
One year from this Wednesday, Sean.
1 year from this
Wednesday.
Please
give. We're raising for Taxi Charity. Please, please. Go on to Just Giving, our Twitter page at Cabbies Do Killy, our Facebook page, search for Cabbies Do Kilimanjaro. We will have a website up and running.
Yeah.
We will be all over the trade press and all of that stuff, and we're going on to the wider media, and
I know there's a lot of giving needing to be done at the moment, but this is a move away from the court cases and litigation. This is something great. This is a real feel good thing that the cab trade really needs at the moment. I think it's in really need of this, a lot of this good initiatives. There's not enough coming forward, and this is one of them, and it's fantastic. So we'll be putting the details up, and this year's going to go by real quick, I think. Before you're going to go to sleep, you're going to wake up, and it's going to be here. Yeah.
Thanks for letting us on, Sean, and we'll keep you updated. We'll come on again.
Anytime.
And we'll update you as we go along.
Yeah, I mean, you could come on and talk about other stuff as well, but this is it now, the focus. We're going to be with you all the way.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Sean. Thank
you, Bernard. And Bernard will be coming with you. In case you missed any of that, I'll run through it again quickly. You can donate by going to their Thanksgiving page, Cabbies Do Kilimanjaro, or you can look them up on Facebook, Cabbies Do Kilimanjaro. Alternatively, you can look them up on Twitter, at Cabbies Do Killy. Give Generously is for a sterling cause, the taxi charity for military veterans, and there's no better charity out there. We'll be right back.
You are listening to #41 from the Dave Matthews Band. And it just so happens to be Brian's favourite tune, the tune he would take to a desert island. No doubt, in September of this year, he'll be taking it all the way to the top of Kilimanjaro. Trouble is, I'm now torn between Roche and Brian. I don't know whether to go with On Top of the World, which is Roche's favourite tune by Magic Dragon, or go for Dave Matthews Band, #41. Oh. I'm going to be tortured by this for many a night to come.
London Taxi Radio, bringing a tingle to your ears.